T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Another one of those VSOs that's doing great things, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, which, full disclosure, I am a member of, post 1469 out of Huntington, New York. The Veterans of Foreign Wars does a lot of great things for veterans in general, not just for those who served boots on the ground in Iraq, Afghanistan, Operation Desert Storm, Vietnam. There are a lot of programs that the VFW offers to everyone who served, to the families of those who served. They're doing a lot of great things for many of our veterans, and the person who's going to speak to us now is going to talk to us about one of the most important things that they're doing. What is it? Well, how about VA claims when you get out? How about the appeals of VA claims? Yeah, if you think your initial claim is returned with too low of a rating, or if it's denied, the VFW works to help you with that. One of the people doing so is one of their appeals consultants, Rebecca Owens, who joins us now on the Morning Briefing. Rebecca, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
So before we talk about your job at the VFW and what the VFW is doing, let's talk about Rebecca. As I understand, on this beautiful, fine Navy day that is the Navy's birthday, October 13th, you served in my beloved United States Navy. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, when you served, and what you did when you were in.
Well, I came in 1984, so I have to date myself a little bit there. And I was born and raised in just outside of Cleveland, Ohio. And fortunately enough, when I joined, my first tour of duty was Roosevelt Roads, Puerto Rico. Now, I know that's probably pretty hard for most folks, but I ended up going right into law enforcement, which is what I wanted.
Awesome.
And that was the start of, that was the start of my 30-year law enforcement career. And
wow.
I stayed in security departments ever since.
Now, how long did you serve in the Navy? How many years did you do?
30 years.
Wow, you were in the Navy for 30 years as a master at arms the entire time, or?
Not the entire time, because there was a period there where you couldn't become a master at arms until you were a second class petty officer.
Right, I remember
that. I was rated as a signalman.
Oh, okay. So you're a signalman, right? So for those who don't know, in the Navy, just to explain very briefly, because, Rebecca, let's be honest, we're a little bit different than most of the other services, but our version...
I know.
Our version of MPs or military police are called master at arms. It's an old naval term, dates back hundreds of years, dates back all the way to the British Navy. The master at arms is the police force. And up until, I want to say, somewhere around the 2000, maybe a couple years after that time frame, you had to have served in the Navy up until the rank of Petty Officer Second Class E5 before you could become a master at arms. So it was, basically they wanted to make sure that the security people had a little bit of experience before they were, running around with that sort of authority, which I think there's a good argument that can be made for that program and some of the things I saw after it changed, but that's neither here nor there. Rebecca, when you transitioned out of the military after 30 years, what do you remember about that transition period?
Utter shock. it was hard. It was real hard. And it was the simplest things that made it hard. What are you going to wear? Mm. Believe it or not, because my closet had nothing but uniforms, PT gear. It was pretty desolate. But I couldn't sit at home. I was bored. I had talked about I was going to take some time off. I was going to relax a little bit. I think that lasted about 2 weeks. Mm. And I was already going stir crazy. Fortunately enough, I had a very good friend of mine who worked at the VFW. And she told me about a job that was coming available in this area in D.C. And it was as an appeals consultant at the Board of Veterans Appeals in D.C. So she sent this to me, and I applied for it. And this was in June. I retired in April 2014. So I applied for this position, and I was picked up and hired in June. So that kind of gives you the idea, you know, the time period there of when I retired and then the time that I picked up a job, because I could not sit at home.
Right.
I couldn't.
You know, I think we see that particularly with those who do 20 plus years, you know, in the Navy, or chiefs, senior chiefs, master chiefs, first classes, officers, those who serve for that long and then get out and don't do anything. That also seems to shorten their lives. I mean, the life expectancy of someone who retires and doesn't do anything. I've known plenty who I served with who essentially, you know, served for 30 years. They get out there around 50 years old. And then before they're 60, they've dropped dead kind of unexpectedly. Is that something that that started to worry you? I'm sure you were aware of that as well.
Well, I think there's even a study about that there was a number of increased deaths and declines in health after the first 10 years of retirement for folks that had retired at 20 and 30 years. But this is just in my nature. I can't sit around and do nothing. I just can't. I have to be productive. And I also have to feel like I'm making a difference somewhere. And that really fell in line and fell in lockstep with the job that I have right now with VFW, because every day I feel like I'm making a difference for somebody.
When you think back to that transition period, which only 3 years ago, so not that long ago, still pretty fresh in your mind, I think most people expect also those who retire, those who do 20 to 30 years in the military, are going to have all their ducks in a row. They're going to have everything all set up. Is there anything that you wish you had known or you had prepared for or thought about before your retirement, now that you've gone through that process?
Yes. they set you up with TAP, which is the Transition Assistance Program, to assist you with interviews and resumes. But even going through that, I don't think that I was still prepared enough. I think there needs to be more interview time, because even though you're used to speaking and you're used to interviewing to a degree, especially at that level, it's not the same when you go and you're dealing with, civilians, what we call civilians. They just don't speak the same language. And we have to get out of the mindset of acronyms, and we have to get into the mindset of turning everything that we know with military lingo into the civilian equivalent.
Right.
And that's really hard to do. And I was not prepared for that.
You know, and having gone through TAP myself after 13 years, the one issue that I continue to bring up with it is, at least the TAP class I went through, I was stationed in Guam when I finished out. I was deployed to Afghanistan, came back to Guam, got out. Is that the class seemed to focus too much, at least in my opinion, on trying to get a government job. And there were plenty of people in the class who had no interest in that. So there were large segments of it that just didn't apply to someone like me. So that was one of the issues I had with it. But also, the biggest issue is the lack of preparation that a lot of our fellow shipmates and soldiers, Marines, airmen have when they, you know, even if they know they're getting out, sometimes they don't do all the prep work. And then if the class isn't tailor-made for them, that can be an issue. Another issue, and it's what we're talking to Rebecca Owens about today. She is a appeals consultant for the Veterans of Foreign Wars, which deals with VA claims and appeals of those VA claims specifically. So first, tell us, you know, when you first started doing this job, what does the job actually entail for you?
For me particularly, because I work at the board, and before I go into that, there's different tiers, I'll say, of an appeals process. So when an appeal or a claim is started, it started at a regional level. Once they get a result back and it's denied and they appeal that, it leaves the regional office and it comes up to the board. And that's where I work. So what I normally do when I see these claims is I review the entire record. So I'm going back through all of the military treatment records. I'm looking at all of the medical exams that they've had since then. And I'm bouncing it against the disability that they're attempting to claim. And I'm also using a Code of Federal Regulations. It's the 38 CFR, which is a law. You know, every disability that somebody claims is covered under a law. And there's certain criteria that they must meet in order to get granted that benefit. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. So I have to make sure that all those ducks are aligned. And then I write up a informal hearing procedure or a presentation. And then that goes before a judge to support the veteran's contention.
See, and that's the thing I think a lot of us don't know and don't understand. Those of us who don't work in that that industry of dealing with the VA, and I've learned so much more about it since starting this show, that there is such a an intricate process that goes on when it comes to filing a VA claim, when it comes to filing an appeal. There are so many different moving parts within it that the typical sailor, marine, airman, soldier just doesn't know about. In your time working in this job since your retirement, what have you found that, you know, most people who are leaving the military should be checking and focusing on to ensure that their VA claim maybe doesn't need to be appealed and that they have everything all set up when they initially make the claim?
My first recommendation is 1 year prior to getting out, make sure that you get every single issue that you have addressed and get follow-ups for it so that when you get out, your medical record has all of the up-to-date information for any illness, injury, disability that you may have. Because, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You please.
Because if you, let's say you stayed in for 10 years and you twisted an ankle 9 years ago, but then you hadn't been seen for it. But during the course of that 9 years, it still bothered you. You just popped Motrin.
Yeah.
That's not going to do you any good if you attempt to file a claim. Not that they're going to, you know, it's going to, well, probably will be denied, but it may get turned on appeal. It's just harder to justify that that was actually a disability because for the VA, it has to be something that is chronic, not acute and transitory.
Hmm. And that is an interesting thing where there's also there's this this culture within the military as well, where, you know, if people are trying to go to medical to get things documented and you retiring at 30 years as a master chief from the Navy, you probably know this. And a lot of people look down on that. Like if you're going, why are you going to medical? What are you just gold bricking? You don't want to work? Why you just want to go to medical and get off of duty? Is that what you're trying to do here? So do you think that we need a little bit of a culture change when it comes to that? Or what do you think can be done to address that within the actual, you know, within the active duty military?
It definitely needs to be a culture change. People need to be able to take care of themselves, especially when you're thinking about the next 30 to 40 years, because that's what you're looking at, especially when you're looking at coming out and filing a claim. But that's why that last year is so important, because that last year is going to give you the opportunity to go back and address anything. If your ankle has been bothering you and you hadn't been seen for it, get in and get seen for it. Get in and get x-rays. Get an MRI. Have a diagnosis.
Right, and you need to look out for yourself. You know, you need to look out for yourself first. I mean, yes, you're part of the team, whether you're in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, but you do also have to consider, you know, life after you're done serving at some point, and you need to make sure that you're all set up for that. Now, we're speaking with Rebecca Owens. Rebecca is an appeals consultant, retired United States Navy Master at Arms at the VFW, and works to help people with filing their VA claims as well as their disabilities, working on the board there, as she just told us, to make sure that everything's going right. Now, we've seen a lot of news from the VA recently regarding the disability claims and appeals process. Some things that are meant to speed it up in particular because the process had taken so long. So what have you seen so far from these new programs from the VA? And do you think they're going to make a difference as far as the appeals process time and the waiting periods and the waiting lists that we have? How do you think this is going to affect it?
When they started the pre-discharge claims, that made a drastic difference. And that's where the person can go ahead and file before they get out of the service. So they ended up doing 15,000 claims. VFW did anyway, 15,000 claims in 2016. They have a time limit on those so that they get those knocked out. And again, it comes down to getting the documentation. They have claims that are fully developed. If you do a fully developed claim, that is under the assumption that you have everything that you need in order to have that claim rated. But again, it goes back to the documentation. And here's where the advocacy part comes in. If you have a VSO, a veteran service officer representing you, they can go over your record and tell you whether or not you've got everything that you need for the disabilities that you're claiming.
Mm.
So that when you do file, it can go into that fully, fully developed claim file and get rated quicker. If it goes into the queue for it must be developed, then it's going to start churning, you know, as letters are getting sent out saying, hey, we need this, hey, we need this, hey, we need this. And that's what the holdups are as the VA waits for evidence.
Right.
You have to sign medical release forms. They have to try to track down service information to validate where you were, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And it can lead to...
And I think that's where a lot of veterans... I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And that's where veterans end up getting discouraged.
Right. And it can lead to, I mean, there are so many things, the stories that you hear. I mean, some nightmare stories of, you know, basically disability appeals taking years to go through. Do you think that is hopefully going to become a thing of the past with the new steps that are being taken? Are we not going to see any of these, you know, horror stories of someone who put in an appeal and it's taken 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years to get it through? Or do you think there are still going to be those isolated cases where just the documentation of it, or for whatever reason, there are still going to be those outliers that take a lot longer?
Well, that's hard to say. In my experience in looking at some of the cases, I think that there will probably still be a certain percentage that will end up taking a long time, only because there was a gap somewhere and they didn't get the information that they needed. Because that's where I see the most time coming, is in the developmental sections. You know, where VA is waiting for specific information that they're not getting in order to decide a case.
Right, which is important because they need everything.
Yes, they need everything. And it's a law. There's certain things that they have to have in order to get that case decided. So, for an example, my father is a Vietnam veteran. Now, in his case, he served in the Air Force. And his DD-214 did not say that he was in Vietnam, because he went over there on a special mission. He was a photographer.
Huh.
However, I've got letters, and I've got his passport, his official passport, which stamped him in and stamped him out.
Wow.
So I said, Dad, and I did the digging for him, because he did go to somebody, and they said, oh, sorry, it's not on your DD-214. You can't file. Well, I didn't like that answer, so I ended up digging through all of his paperwork. I found this, and we filed. And he did get service connected. But the first bit of paperwork that he got back, he looked at the stuff and he called me and he said, I just got this whole packet from the VA and I don't understand any of it. It's all overwhelming and just forget it.
Wow.
And I went, Dad, send it to me. Just send it to me and I'll take care of it. Because when you read some of that, it's a lot of legal jargon. And it can be overwhelming. That's why I stress over and over and over again, get a veteran service officer. They're free. Just get representation.
And a lot of people don't realize that those veteran service officers, like from the VFW, the American Legion, the VSOs that have them, they're not just for the membership, right? That anyone can go to a VFW veteran service officer if they have a question about something like this, right?
I won't say all services have that. I don't know what the requirements are for a lot of the other places. They may require membership. VFW does not.
Which is a huge thing. It's amazing that the VFW, and you know, I think there's a lot of confusion as well, where people think the VFW only is for those who served, you know, boots on the ground in Iraq, Afghanistan, wherever. But in fact, there are programs available through the VFW, and this is perhaps the most important that's available to all who have served, that is the veteran service officers who can really help you out. And this is something that I imagine is pretty important to Rebecca Owens. We're speaking to Rebecca, of course. She is an appeals consultant for the VFW and comes from a military family. As she said, her father was a Vietnam veteran. She has two children, I believe, who are serving in the military. One of them made the right choice and went into the Navy. The other one, for some reason, I guess maybe the Navy recruiting office was closed that day, so she went into the Air Force. But, you know, when you look at what this means and your time starting in 84, serving for 30 years, I imagine you've probably seen a progression in what benefits are available to veterans and the knowledge level. Do you think that's something that's going to continue to increase, the knowledge level of the benefits that are available to us? And if so, you know, how do you think that's going to be fostered? Is it going to be through programs from the VFW, the military, or what?
I definitely see a difference between generations as far as information and benefits. And I think a lot of it has to do with the individual services too, because let's just take World War II vets. I don't know that they were really informed on any benefits per se when they got out. Vietnam vets didn't really start getting a lot of their benefits until the last 10 to 20 years. And now Persian Gulf, they were pushing to get those benefits as soon as they got out. And I know when I was retiring and when I was getting out, and even prior to, I would tell my sailors, you need to get your stuff done now. You need to go through TAP. You know, you need to look at your medical record. And I was doing this for them. So I think along through the lines, the mindset has turned so that you're just not booting them out of the service and they're done. You're also thinking about the progression of their civilian career and their civilian health,
which are both very important things. And again, it's kind of a catch-22 for the military, because even the senior leadership, you know, you retired as a master chief, we have our captains, our admirals who can talk about retirement, but none of them have gone through separation yet. So you have basically leadership talking about something that they haven't been through. So it's important that we have those people who've gotten out, have gone through it, like yourself, who are able to provide this important information to our young soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, everybody, and not just our young ones, you know. We got to remember the people who are retiring, just because they did 30 years, that means they know a heck of a lot about their job that they were doing in the military, but it does not mean that they know everything, and it does not mean that they are necessarily set up for success. So, Rebecca, when Correct. People are looking at transitioning or looking at, you know, filing an appeal for their VA claim, what's the first step they should take? Who should they contact? Where can they go to find out about the great work that you're doing at the VFW on this?
They can actually go to vfw.org, and there's pull-down menus there's that talk about advocacy. So depending on where they're from, they can find a representative right from that pull-down menu.
And that is great that you're able to just go online, click and find it and find everything that you need. And again, the VFW offers these services, the veteran service officers and you know, VA claim help that they can offer, appeals help that they can offer. This is free and it's available to everybody who has served. It's not just for VFW membership. So whether you're a member or not, you are eligible for it. If you know someone who this could benefit, let them know. You know, go check out the VFW website. Again, does not need to be a member of the VFW to take part in these great programs. But Rebecca, we want to thank you so much for joining us today and shedding light on some of this great work that's taking place over at the VFW. And we thank you for your continuing service, even after 30 years on active duty, still doing it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. And thank you for your service. Happy birthday, Navy.
Happy birthday, Navy, indeed. That was retired Master Chief Rebecca Owens from the VFW.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.